Looking for a place to eat that has a little something for everyone? Come to Route 1 Grill House in Saugus. The most mouth-watering dishes, such as their ribs, steak tips, seafood, and pizzas. Wash it down with their extensive martini list and large selection of draft beer. Route 1 Grill House has a private function room that accommodates up to 70 guests for any function. This is the spot for you and your friends as the weather gets warmer with their outdoor seating. Come on in to the family-owned Route 1 Grill House in Saugus, the perfect place to be.
A finger to wake up to Toucher and Rich. Play. Just tell your smart speaker to play. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Marchand towards the net. That's a shot and scores. 10 times in his career, Marchand has plunged the dagger into an opponent's heart in overtime.
Let's go, Bruins!
Here's David Krejci. Goes around Jordan Stoll. He's got high in middle.
Like to win with what Boston fans appreciate: hard work, blue collar, and a certain level of pace and skill.
And the horn will sound. The tempers are still flaring. But when you look at the standings tomorrow, the team at the top of the Eastern Conference, the top of the Atlantic Division, will read Boston Bruins.
What a drop!
Yeah. Bush.
What a drop in energy. We go from Andrew WK putting a fist through your face into Bush.
Snap, breathe in, breathe out.
Snap your fingers, alt rock. Mall rock.
Dude, you're just jealous about the looks on that hunk of meat. You know, the rumor is why Gwen Stefani left him.
Didn't he have a mystery kid that showed up one day?
Or
oh, because he's got kids.
Yep. Well, Mr. Furley, let's just say, would not have been pleased with the situation.
It's a Mr. Furley reference I didn't expect this morning.
Three's Company is now on almost 24 hours a day, which is a great treat if you get a Chrissy. Anything after that is a little bit bad.
Are they showing the episode where John Ritter's testicle accidentally flops out of his shorts that my wife's company was complaining to? Years later, they found some old lady was scrolling through and saw that that was indeed true.
I could watch that episode, Rich, 100 times and not see nary a testicle.
So did people for years until someone complained to my wife's company.
She must have enjoyed Ritter in those short shorts. Well, Billy Jaffe, you know him from Nesson, the NHL Network. In fact, Nesson. This evening is going to have an hour of pre- and post-game.
Yes.
For the opener over there, they're going to have to watch the... So look forward to a really on-time start.
7:50, we're told.
Oh, okay.
7:50. That's when supposed to be 7:30 to 7:50 is when the ceremony on ice is going to happen.
Okay. How much did this China trip kick their ass?
I think it's going to be tough. I think it's going to be a bit disjointed for, I give it a first few weeks. At least that's my expectations. I don't know if I'm just telling myself that, so in case it does start slowly, that I'm okay with it. But I do think, Rich, that the disjointed nature of training camp is a tough thing to deal with. I do. They've had, because of various injuries, they've only had 3 full team practices since, you know, with everybody that they want. Bergeron, for what, 2 of them wore the red sweater, which is, I don't want to say no big deal, it wasn't. Then yesterday, or the last few, he's been full. He looks great. I think he'll be fine. But as a team, just 3. And now that Torrey Krug's out,
yeah,
I mean, that was, it's different, but you deal with it, you make it best you can. But I do think, Rich, that it's going to kick their ass a little bit, because these guys are creatures of habit.
All right, there's a pretty good article in the Boston Sports Journal that came out yesterday, and it's about, I mean, I know everyone likes to talk about windows with teams, but this one's interesting. Because right now you do have a young group of guys that are getting older, and obviously just a year better than what you had last year. But when you look at your rocks, like the guys who have been here, the leaders of this team, it's kind of shocking how quickly they got this old. And I think the most shocking of anything is that Brad Marchand is 30. For some reason, I just always imagine him as being the dumb kid getting the misspelled Stanley Cup tattoo.
It's because he's as tall as a fifth grader.
Maybe that is true. But he's 30. David Krejci's 32. Tuukka Rask is 31.
Rich, how old are you?
I am 42. I had to think about that for a second.
Okay. Well, yeah. I remember I met you, I think, when you were that kid.
I was like 25, I think,
exactly.
When I met you.
I turned 50, so, you know, my next birth. It's unbelievable what happens, right?
Yeah. Yep.
And these guys,
don't get too close to him in his 50th birthday. He'll try to emasculate you with his hugs.
Right. So, but that's, I mean, then you got Chara, who's 41, and Patrice Bergeron. So,
I know.
What do we make of these guys getting that much older, and do you think that the Bruins have done enough to capitalize on what does seem to be a shorter window with these older guys, at least? The team, the veterans, the ones you can count on.
I think in the last couple of years, I think they've done a significant job in trying to do that. You know, people say, well, I want them to spend to the max cap all the time. Well, wait a second. You always need flexibility to make moves. This year in particular, especially after trading Adam McQuaid, they have some really good flexibility to make some moves to add some pieces, which I have to believe that they will not hesitate to do. And by the way, they didn't do it last year. People say, well, they brought in Rick Nash and that backfired. But they're trying to do things. So with the window, I don't want to say it's nowhere near shut, but closing. No question. Of those aforementioned 30-plus players, I think that they've tried to bring people in. I think they've tried to bring people in, especially with these young. I mean, this is how you win in the NHL. Youth wins. Youth does now. It has to. I think they're doing a nice job with it. I do think that they will have to assess this third line situation with this crew sooner rather than later. How does it work? And if that needs addressing, I am thoroughly confident that Don Sweeney and his staff will address that. But that, because that would be something that will impact this team. I still think Bergeron's going to be great. Krejci needs to. I'd love to see him get 55 to 60 points. Can't have 45 points season.
Of all the guys I just named, that's the one I'm worried about the most.
Well, yeah, because he's not good anymore.
I mean, he's certainly not what he used to be.
No, he hasn't been production-wise. You're right. He needs to. You know, he needs to get. They need to get him, I think, a good, solid right winger.
But that's the thing about Krejci. That's incredibly frustrating, because they're like, oh, he's a great facilitator.
Wait.
And you just got to put pieces around him. Yeah. Give him 2 all-star wings.
Give him 2 all-star. I'm curious to see the instinct, if he has reignite. He should. With chemistry. I can't get the word. With Jake DeBrusque. You know, that should give him some confidence, you know, and some of that comfort that David Krejci loves to have. I'd love to see a guy on the right side. Is it a Ryan Donato who's more of a shooter? I thought Ty Anderson, by the way, did a nice job. Saw his article this morning breaking down the forwards. So is it Donato or Heinen? It's going to start out being Heinen, but do not be surprised at all if Heinen and Donato early on in the season, maybe game period to period, or at least game to game, switch up. Depending on the situation,
do you like that
chemistry? Yeah. Do you like that, or do you like?
I'm fine early on. I'm fine. Listen, I was talking to Jake DeBrusque earlier about getting chemistry with David Krejci. It didn't happen, right? He says I had to work at it. You know, it just sometimes you get that one guy that you just connect with, you just understand, whether it's on the ice, off the ice, whatever. It takes time for other guys. I was going through my rosters for every game. I keep them for every game, your lineup going into the game and stuff. The Bruins didn't have the lineup that got them to the level of excellence last year until late. I think it was November 29th, to be exact. It just didn't happen. Between injuries and unknown and ineffectiveness at times, they didn't have that lineup.
All right. Well, we got a break, but okay. I want to talk to you about something. I had a conversation with Cassidy that was out of the park. No, I had a conversation with Cassidy, and there is an embarrassment of riches, but something needs to be done, and I want to discuss that with you.
Okay.
I'll be right back.
I look forward.
You're listening to Toucher and Rich, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
98.5 The Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. We'll get to your phone calls. Billy Jaffe in studio. You know, from NESN, NHL Network, NESN has an hour of pre- and post-game. Today they're seeing a face-off at 8:50.
7:50.
Oh, so, I'm sorry, 7:50.
Oh, the face-off is at 7:50?
That's what we're told. The face-off. Okay. So we're on 6:30 to 7:30. Then NBC Sports Network takes over. We're told face-off 7:50.
Yeah, so okay, so if you don't want to sit through the whole banner raising and stuff, so you can actually watch hockey.
Yeah, tune in at 8 because these things generally aren't on time. All right, before we get to the phones, I want to ask you something.
Okay.
All right.
Tell me.
The Bruins have drafted well. They have a ton of young talent, but there is a logjam.
Mm-hmm.
And some of these guys are just not going to get an opportunity to ever play. So at what point do you have to start moving this talent? I mean, at what point do you have to start saying, okay, we have a glut of young players and we have to turn it into something?
All right. With regard, I'm not going to go through a whole position by position, but I'll tell you this. There's the glut on defense really isn't that gluttonous. Is that a word? Glutton, I guess.
Probably not.
Because, you know, you got the kid, Juro Vaakanainen, draft pick for number one overall, for the Bruins 2 years ago. Love the kid. I wasn't sure about this because I hadn't seen him ever play. And tell you what, his first step and his read of the play makes him legit. Like, that's NHL ready. NHL game experience? Not yet. Like, let's pump the brakes on that a little.
Sure.
But I will be shocked. He doesn't play some games this year with the Boston Bruins, and within a year, 2 years for sure, regular, maybe even a year. I think the guy he's really good. He's impressive. His angling and his understanding of spacing on the ice.
Who's your mind you of? I know you probably hate when people do that, but I mean,
Nicholas Lindstrom.
Bobby Orr.
But just like what kind of player is he? I mean,
he's a cerebral, he's a new age defenseman, defends with his feet and his mind instead of big burly guy. He's not. You know, Matt Grizzlick defends with his feet an awful lot. He's still big. He's a bit bigger than Matt, not like gigantic, but he just visualizes the ice and spacing really well, and that first step of his has been excellent. But there's not a glut there because you want the kid to play games in the American League. You just do. You want him to get used to the North American rink, the rigors of it, et cetera. But he's up right now at the big club still. Again, I'll be shocked if he doesn't play. But otherwise, they've done a good job, I think, on their back end for now. I'm saying there's not an overglut there. You got Lozan, the kid who's going to play in Providence, and Zboril, but they got to elevate their games. Up front, Fred, I get what you're saying.
Right.
There's some more guys up there, and in no particular order, you're talking about the Donatos, the DeBrusques, the Bjork, the Heinens, etc. I think you have to let it play out a little bit right now because we need to figure out, is Danton Heinen have the ability to elevate? I mean, 47 points is pretty darn good, but it slowed down as the year went on. Can he elevate to 50 to 60 points? Awesome, be great. Is Donato going to be a shooter? Meaning, is he going to be a finisher at this level? Mm-hmm. Showed himself very effective for the last 11, 12 games of the regular season. We don't know, though. We have to see. I think we're still, Fred, I still think right now they're in the analytical approach to it. Let's see it out. Let's see it play out. And then they've created depth in many positions, and they've created contract space where, yes, time when the time is right, it's not right yet, in my opinion, when the time is right, unless there's somebody out there that's being offered that we don't know about, I say you wait a little bit, and then you can make a move with one of these kids.
Yeah, just if you look at their top 10 prospects, sometimes you wonder if those guys are ever going to get a chance. Mark, go ahead.
Hey, how are you guys? Merry Christmas, Billy.
Thank you.
As far as the Bruins core goes, I'd like to think that Bergeron and Marchand will probably be here until they're done. Wouldn't you think that?
They can't get rid of Bergeron.
I wouldn't put money against that, but I would agree that both those players seem like Boston Bruins for life. Obviously, funny things happen in pro sports, so no, Mark.
No. It's like, I mean, Zdeno Chara. I mean, would you offer after this year? I mean, you have to see what he does this year.
Yeah, let's not play that game.
Would you offer him another year and not at $5 million? And Tuukka Rask and Krejci, wouldn't be surprised, like, if Krejci would probably be gone.
I don't know who would take him.
If not sooner. Right, exactly.
I don't know who would take Krejci.
And Torrey Krug, I for some reason, I don't believe that it's the same foot but different injury. I have a funny feeling it's the same injury. And I have a feeling that this is going to present an issue throughout the season with this kid. I mean, we're going to miss him on the power play. But other than that, I'm not going to miss him.
Now Mark, Mark, you have called in before with your concerns about Tuukka Rask.
Yes.
Okay. What's your opinion of him going into this season? Has anything changed?
Going this season?
Going into this season.
Going into this season, well, as Halak, the backup?
Well, that's the thing. That's why they got Halak, I think.
Right.
Is that,
I would love to see Halak play more games than Hudobin did.
Oh, he will. Billy, there's no way he won't.
He's already playing game two. He's already playing game two against Buffalo.
I mean, they got Halak, I think, because if Tuukka's the number one goalie, obviously, but if Tuukka goes into a funk, I mean, they can ride Halak. It's not
no question.
It's not like Hudobin. If you can play Halak.
Halak has a more consistent, significantly more consistent career than Anton Hudobin did. We all love Dobie, what he brought to the team, his infectious personality, his attitude was great. But, and by the way, he saved the team's ass last year in that four game. Okay, we know that. And I'm not discrediting him. I'm thrilled for him that he got his contract that he did with Dallas. But it was absolutely, for the money that they were going to have to spend, apples to apples, what they did with signing Halak for the two-year deal compared to Hudobin for that money, I'm all for what they did. They brought in a guy who is a certifiable, more of a starter, no, I mean, much more of a starter in his career than Hudobin, who plays a more consistent style. That was the thing about Hudobin. At times, I mean, he was fun. He was great to watch. It was, you know, it was that, but sometimes it was that, oh my, what are we going to get?
Yeah.
And
how much more of a balance is it going to be? Like when you say he's going to play more games than Hudobin, how many more do you think Halak's going to get? Because every game matters with Tuukka, as we've learned.
A lot.
I mean, could I see a 52-30 type of thing? You know, it gets you to your 82 games, 52 for Tuukka, 30 for Halak. Sure, I could see that. Unless something crazy happens, you don't want Tuukka only playing 40 games.
No, I mean, you don't. But if he goes into a spiral.
Yeah,
Billy, you couldn't keep Hudobin in. But you've seen this in the NHL before. If Tuukka goes into a spiral and Halak starts standing on his head, and I'm not saying this is going to happen, they're not crazy to put Halak in goal
not
for an extended
all.
Period of time.
And remember, we saw it with a goaltender last year in Hudobin that is significant over his career, has proven to be very significantly less consistent than a guy like Yaroslav Halak has been. And Bruce Cassidy, to his credit, along with Bob Asenza and the other staff, played, remember Hudobin, got those four games in a row. Tuukka kept sitting out. So they will absolutely do that with Yaroslav Halak if necessary.
Isn't that when Tuukka flipped the switch?
Yeah.
It was almost like
darn
he was message
right
sent. Yeah.
Physically and mentally, he flipped that switch, and he came back. Halak is a goaltender. If memory serves correct, they played the same, they being Tuukka and Yaro, played the same amount of games last year. All right? But Halak faced over 200, I think it was 250 more shots that he faced playing behind the New York Islanders team defense.
Jeez.
Than Tuukka did with the Boston Bruins.
I'll tell you one thing, that there is a shot that there it would be a possibility that Halak would play a playoff game.
Is this a better team than last year?
Assuming that the young guys develop, yes.
Okay.
It is. Is it ready to win it all? Not yet. Meaning, I still think they need to tweak a few things into it. I've already brought it up once earlier, guys, that third line. The construction of the third line is something that has to be addressed.
We were just looking at the over-under totals for points for the season, and the Bruins, who had 112 last year, are now at 102.5.
I don't give a...
Which, once again, is it... I mean, when you hear that, oh, wow, it's 10 less games, or 10 less points, that doesn't matter because I think everyone does. It's the competition got tougher. As a matter of fact,
yes.
I think they are fifth in the league. There's no one higher than... looks like Tampa Bay has the highest at 107.5.
And last year, the Bruins were fourth in the league in overall points when it was all said and done.
Yeah, and they're hovering around there, according to Vegas. They got the Leafs also at 106.5, Penguins at 103, and the Predators at 105.5. So
yeah, I've totally out of the thought about having to win the division and this and that. I don't want them just to get in by the skin of their, you know what. I just want them to, but I want them to get in the right way, play, you know, battling it out to win. I still don't think that losing the division on the last day last year made a difference losing to Tampa. They got beat by a better team at that time.
Sure, sure.
They just did, especially without two of their defensemen that were both out, you know, eventually both out injured. But that wasn't they just got beat by a better team. But don't kill yourselves. Look at the playoffs last year. Thank you.
No one said that to me before. You just said
it at least today.
It's the words you've been wanting to hear.
That's right.
Don't do it, Fred.
Don't kill yourself getting into the playoff, meaning winning the division at the end all costs. I mean, who would have thought Vegas would be playing Washington for the Cup final last year?
Yeah. By the way, Vegas thinks Vegas isn't going to do nearly as well as they did last year. And as we were talking about off the air, I mean, how do you capture that lightning in a bottle
again?
You know, as I said, that was Team FU because a lot of these guys were, you know, outcast from other teams and they kind of had that thing going. And as you mentioned, of course, you know, the tragedy also unified these guys. So, I mean, there's a lot of different scenarios that happened last year.
They're a good team.
But they weren't as good as they were last year.
They're not Western Conference champions.
You admit that the parts did not add up to what they're
last year. But I look at this team now, what they did in Vegas, not to get off on the Vegas tangent. I look at it and I say, they're intriguing to me again.
Yeah.
They are. Add Max Pacioretty, Paul Stastny.
Off the air, I was actually thinking about Harold Schnapps.
You were?
Yeah. I got him and Gallant. Harold! All right. Billy Jaffe, watch him tonight on SNL, pre and post game. Rich, what's coming up in the snack?
Oh, we've got in the snack? Well, we got all sorts of tasty things. Little Debbie's. We've got what are those? Snowballs?
Underrated. Nothing like a snowball.
were those yellow? They
can be different colors.
Pink snowballs.
They're different colors now.
We got some Drake cakes if you like going to Maine.
Mm-mm.
How about that? No, we have all sorts of stuff. There was almost a fist fight at the Ryder Cup. So if you want to know just how well the American team was getting along, people almost got punched, and a woman got hit so hard that she said her eye exploded. Oh,
all right. Well, that's interesting.
Nice to see you guys, by the way.
Good to see you again, too. Billy. Welcome back. It's good to have hockey back.
I've seen you before. All right.
Hey, by the way, hang on real quick. Yeah. There was a story you told in the offseason, Fred, about Billy roughing you up in a restaurant.
Yeah, what happened?
It was a hug.
We've talked about it on the
air. Oh, have we? Okay, I didn't remember the conclusion of the
hug.
No, he was acting like a big shot.
I was, oh, God.
He was acting like a big shot.
Oh, jeez.
He, like, hugged me and picked me up because
I did. I picked him up. I was so excited to see him. It had been months since I'd seen him.
No, what he was trying to do is humiliate me.
Doesn't take
it seemingly
much.
Worked.
Yes.
You weren't very happy the next day, as I remember.
No, I thought it was rude. All right, we'll be back here with the headlines.
Look going for it.
Yeah, well. 98.5. Toucher and Rich.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
Standing at 5, the Sports Hub, where Toucher and Rich the Stack is brought to you by Harvard Pilgrim Healthcare. What do we got?
Okay, there aren't many better things than when live television goes off the rails and the unexpected happens. This happened at a WWE Raw segment.
Yeah.
Which James Stewart, I know, would... and this is one of those things that you could say what you will, how like some things are faked on wrestling and some things aren't, and is it a work or whatever. But this is something that you couldn't control because it was done by the crowd. So Elias and Kevin Owens, they came out and they were doing this promo hyping their match at this WWE Super Showdown, a pay-per-view.
Oh, that's going to be something.
Yeah, and I guess this was happening in Seattle. And so they're sitting in the middle of the ring, and one of them has an acoustic guitar. So I know nothing about the backstory of these two guys. All I know is it looked like they were about to do some sort of bit or segment where they performed a song.
They're Simon and Garfunkel.
they are of WWE. So here was... these two guys, Elias and Kevin Owens, sitting in the middle of the ring, and the crowd completely blows their, because of their reaction to what something he says here, completely blows their plan bit.
Kev, it doesn't make sense, you know? It's like having a basketball team in Seattle.
Listen to the roar of this crowd.
No respect for Detlef Shrimp.
Elias hit a sensitive button. Got Seattle right in the feelings. Look.
Oklahoma City. Now I get that. The team
Yeah, you know, John Cena ruins things all the time. Just like the people of Seattle ruin everything all the time, too. That's why their basketball team left.
Turn the lights back down. Keep the spotlight on me.
It went on for 5 minutes. And they never got to what they were going to do, the song they were going to perform. The crowd was so angry that he just, you know what? He was smart. He just continued to insult them that they didn't have a basketball team anymore. And it went on for 5 minutes.
That's like when I hear the electric can opener and I come down and they've just opened a can of pineapple.
That's Kitty Litter, James Stewart, who is chiming in on this.
Yeah.
You love wrestling and you love tuna fish.
I love wrestling because it keeps everyone off guard so I can pee in one of the air vents.
That's not a good thing because it makes the whole place smell awful.
Tee-hee.
Think he cares about that?
You know what I like to do?
What's that?
I like to... No, they never are.
Okay. In your mind it was, though.
Shut up, I'm resting on the windowsill. I like the way the sun feels.
Okay, thank you, Kitty Litter, James Stewart.
It's a rainy day. That means I'm going to be awful pesky.
Yeah, I bet you will, because you would not
You open the door, skedaddle, here I go.
You will not be sun roasted anymore, and it will
Kitty,
not...
Kitty, jackasses. Look at you trying to find me. I'm right underfoot.
Okay, well, thank you very much. Well, if you wanted to know what Senior Living does, the magazine...
One old lady tried to adopt me, and I fell asleep on her face, and she died.
Did you? Somebody's phone is ringing. Maybe it's the old lady, because she's dead. She can't answer the phone.
She was so worthless. She couldn't get up, and her bed sores annoyed me. So one day, I curled up on her face. And she met her demise.
That's very macabre. Kitty Litter, James
One time, this nerdy kid came over who was allergic to cats. And they wanted to put me in a room and shut the door. But I outsmarted him by shedding.
Okay. Well,
and the kid went into anaphylactic shock. And they had to give him an EpiPen. But it was funny because I had taken the EpiPen and I hid it.
It's horror movies, Kitty Litter, James Stewart.
Yeah, apparently. You're allergic to cats. Get used to it, you son of a bitch. You weren't exposed early enough.
Okay, well,
if you were little and your parents didn't coddle you, you wouldn't be allergic to my
fur.
No, my dander.
Oh, sorry.
Sometimes you're having a sleepover. Okay, I'm gonna hide in the trundle bed. Oh, whoops-a-daisy. Someone's not going to have a good night's sleep.
Okay, well, thank you, Kitty Litter, James Stewart. All I know is that Sarge has tweeted in and says, that was Elias. I am Elias WWE there. The best guy in the mic to go against the crowd. I feared for his life after that, and I hope that Fight Owens Fight had a getaway car. More on that coming this week on WrestleCast 98.5. So there you go. Sarge always sweet. Coming in with a plug at the end.
Sweet.
It is definitely sweet. Well, Senior Living, which is apparently a publication that old people read.
I sometimes eat the line that goes from the bag into the vein.
Oh, gross. Like, you're talking about the was not a catheter, IV. The IV? Yeah,
there'll be an IV with life-saving antibiotics, and I'll chew on it and play with it.
That's not good.
Here you go. Sayonara, jackass.
All right, thank you. Stop murdering people. It's not very nice.
I ripped your colostomy bag. Uh-oh, Spaghetti-O.
And now they're dead. Well, the most offensive TV show, they pulled 1,000 people.
A half an inch to pull a trigger.
It does. Is that a song by, I don't know, Skid Row? Or?
One time I was on the road with Skid Row.
Okay.
And the bass player had an earring that...
Connected
had it chained
to
his nose.
Yes, he has.
And
that.
I pulled it, and then he got a nasty infection.
That's not a nice thing to do. You think he would have kept an eye out for that, or
Rachel Bolin? Yeah. More like Rachel No Nose.
I mean, he probably still had a nose. He was just missing part of it there.
Ah,
yeah.
I gave him a staph infection.
Well, they did.
Had fun with no foot. Stupid.
They did research.
Oh, what do you want, your insulin?
Within 1,000 people about what the most offensive, the most offensive show on television is and who is the most offensive character. Any guesses as to what was found? South Park, number one by far, with 30% of the vote. And the most offensive character on TV, Eric Cartman, coming in with 18.7%. Now, apparently, this is all time because I'm seeing all these different shows and characters. The second most offensive character or personality of all time on television.
Jim J. Bullock on Too Close for Comfort.
No, it would not be Jim J. Bullock.
Mr. Roper.
And it would not be Mr. Roper.
Bunker?
Mr. Belvedere, not on the list. Archie Bunker, you're all right. I mean, 14.5%. Then it goes Peter Griffin, Roseanne Barr, Al Bundy, Donald Trump. They threw in there.
Have you watched Married with Children recently?
Yes.
It's incredible.
It's funny.
Oh, yeah.
It's still not funny. Hilariously funny.
The fat jokes.
Yes.
Did you see the one where he got the toilet that he wanted?
No.
And that his big dream for his father, it was Field of Dreams, and he was going to build the bathroom in the garage. And he had this and the toilet was in the living room. It's a masterpiece.
No, the Jessica Hahn one was on recently. That's
well,
the one I saw.
When I was a kid, I couldn't pleasure myself enough.
Well, the Wild Thing video with Sam, what's his name? Sam Kinison.
Yeah.
That was insane. Like, that was just like, we're just going to get her almost as naked as you can possibly be on MTV and put it in front of 13-year-olds.
Well, that was like the 2 weeks. That was a sweet spot right there that got her.
Yeah, I remember when Sam was driving through the desert and I crawled up on the back of the driver's side and put my paw over his eyes. See you later, comedy guy.
Okay, well, that's not very nice. So you were the one who did that. That's not very nice.
I killed him.
Okay, well, you shouldn't have done that, Kitty Litter James Stewart.
And got away scot-free.
Well, speaking of killing...
And I ate a cactus and tripped. Okay. I had peyote.
So now you're tripping balls, Kitty Litter James Stewart.
Yeah.
Pet Cemetery James Stewart is a listener, has it?
Cemetery. Have you ever dug up a body?
No, I haven't.
But one word. Sweet.
But you were tripping while you were doing it?
Yeah, sometimes. I lived with this kid that dealt acid, and it turned out it was bunk, so I pooed in his bed.
I don't even know where to go with it.
This is not getting old.
I don't even know where to go with this.
I'll tell you where to go. Straight to hell, stupid.
Okay, thank you. Kitty Litter tripping on acid, James Stewart.
1 inch. Half an inch to pull a trigger. They said a cat couldn't do it. Take off the safety and try me.
What do I do?
Go to break, maybe?
I kind of like it. The thing is, though, we have to, this is not the last time we're going to hear from this cat.
Hey, you know those chairs that old ladies use that go up the stairs?
Yes.
Yeah. One time I jumped on a lady and scratched her eyes while she was running up.
Really?
She couldn't figure out how to get out of it.
Oh, because she was strapped
did I
in.
Did I laugh?
Yeah.
You can't even walk up the stairs, idiot.
I mean, she's probably old.
Yeah.
Why?
I wanted to inherit all her pearls.
Why? Hey guys, we have on line one a very important question.
Okay. John, go ahead.
Hey guys, hey.
Hey.
Hey, I had a really important question for Billy Jaffe, and I didn't actually get to ask him, so maybe you guys can at least give me your expert sports opinions on it.
Sure.
So, as you honestly, and I know you guys are in bed with the suits down there, and you can't be as candid as you probably like. But have you honestly ever heard anybody worse than Sarge on the radio?
It's the new Hey Guys Hey.
Yeah. Yep, it looks that way.
One time, this guy was doing wiring at his house, and he was standing on a ladder, and I pushed the ladder, and he hung himself. You should have seen his face turn blue.
Rather not.
It was awesome. One time I caught a mouse and I dropped it at my owner's feet. And she screamed in horror. I said, That's it, bitch. It's curtains for you.
This is just the left turn of all left turns. Good for you.
See you later, alligator.
Diabolical murderer. Kitty litter James Stewart, who's tripping on acid.
Tripping balls James Stewart.
Yes.
Yeah. That's right.
I just don't know what to do. I don't know where to go now.
I'll tell you where to go right now.
Thank you.
I'll be under the shed. Planning my next move.
Somebody tweeted, speaking of cats, has Fred's died yet?
Oh, yeah.
No. No. As much as that would please everyone. All right.